'Tis the season of giving, and OneBlood wants to give you a $25 e-gift card. You heard that right. All you have to do is donate blood at a OneBlood donor center or at select Big Red Bus blood drives, and that $25 e-gift card is yours. But don't wait, because this offer is only available November 16th through the 30th. This holiday season, give the gift of life. Visit OneBlood.org/holiday to find a location and share your power to save lives.
The voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 14th day of November 2025. And tonight, our trusty producer is Hey Dale.
Hey, Pastor.
Good evening, young fella.
Good evening. I'm not that young anymore, Pastor.
Well, compared to John and I, just about everybody is. Speaking of John, he's a very highly proclaimed international preacher and author and, well, Big John McTurnan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. Thanks for the nice accolades there. God bless you and all our listeners, Pastor Ernie, we should really open with prayer also for the protection of the show, especially on Friday night, Pastor Ernie.
That's right, because, you know, John, after those highly proclaimed accolades, you got, if the show goes bad, it's your fault.
Well, remember, Pastor Ernie, I was cut off, remember?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I tried calling back, and the line was busy. So the next day I called you and told you what happened.
Yeah, I know.
I was cut off from the show and called and finally gave up.
And every one of the producers will tell you on all the stations, it only happens when you're on. It only happens when you're on. And here's the thing. And then I had one of the higher-ups in Salem say, well, you know why it's happening, don't you? I said, I got a good idea. He said, because it's the content of your program. No kidding. Yeah. But anyhow, here's the thing. What is the thing? I've already been praying, but why don't you pray right now? And look, and folks out there, listen, please, we just want to have a whole radio program tonight. It's Friday night, and this is when usually the opposition, it must be that they take off early and they're looking for, I don't know, entertainment for the weekend. But sometimes I just wonder, I get a picture in my mind of, you know, the deep state sitting around a table someplace, with some kind of mechanical gadgets deciding how they're going to take us down tonight. But anyhow, why don't you pray for the Lord's protection tonight, John? Go ahead.
Yeah. Father, in a real serious note here, Father, we are before you because of the attacks that come on this show, especially Friday nights, Lord. We've seen the pattern through the years now. So we're asking that you would intercede and make sure that the show can go out over the air, Lord, and it'll go out with very, very important information that the people need to hear. So we're asking, again, for your protection, and give us clarity of mind to get the information out that's vitally important for the people to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Dale, you're over in the other studio all by yourself, aren't you? Okay, well, that's good that you're not alone. This is Friday night. All righty. Well, Seth says he don't like being there by himself. He said it's spooky over there. But anyhow, we're going to get right into it. The title of the message, because I've been preaching this week on hell, preaching on hellfire this week, and the title of the message is Bound Up the Tares and Throw Them in the Fire. And we're going to pick it up where we left off in Revelation chapter 19. Starting with verse 11, and John, let's take this verse at a time. We'll do a real hard exegetical message here. You ready?
Okay.
So we start with verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Well, heaven was open. That means that he's about to depart from there, and he's not going to be alone. Now, here, and it says, and I saw heaven open, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful, and he's called True, and in righteousness he doth make war, judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Well, just in these first couple of verses, he's got three different names on him. You know, he's referred to as the Word of God. He's referred to as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we go on, he says here, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now that vesture was dipped in blood as he rode triumphantly down the great wine press, where he spilled the blood and reached that reached up to the horses' bridles. You know, one of the things over in the Valley of Megiddo, you've been over there, John, in the Valley of Megiddo.
Yes, I've been there several times, Pastor.
And if you stand on one side and you look all the way across, to me, it's just like standing here looking across Lake Erie into Canada. That's how big it seems to me. What do you think?
Well, Pastor Ernie, especially when you go to the city of Haifa, and right there, on the outskirts of the city, is Mount Carmel, where Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. But you stand there, and you'd be looking kind of southeast. It's heading southeast. And you can see all the ways across to, like, into Jordan from there.
And so
I mean, it's a long, long, long way, but you're high up in the mountain, so you can see across.
Now, I've tried to explain to some of the preachers, you know, when it talks that there's blood up to a horse's bridle, and they get the picture that, you know, this is blood that's 4 or 5 feet deep. But if you've ever watched horses run, have you ever watched horses run on the track there, John? Race horses?
Yeah, I love to watch the Kentucky Derby, Pastor Ernie. That's the only horse racing I watch.
Especially when it's raining and they're running in the mud. You notice, where does the mud always go? The mud ends right at their bridle, doesn't it? They kick up the mud, and the mud ends at the bridle. And here, this is what he's talking about, the blood. There's going to be so much blood in the valley, but when the horses run through there, the blood, it's not going to be 4 feet deep, because horses can't run in 4 foot of blood, can they? And in that valley, I don't think there's enough blood in every living creature on the earth 100 times over to fill that valley. That valley is huge. I mean, it is, like I said, it's like looking across Lake Erie. And so this is what what I believe that he's referring to. And he says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, the armies in heaven, those are the saints. There's four categories of saints. Do you remember what the four categories of saints are?
Well, the first is the bride of Christ, the believers.
Not actually. The very first category of saints spoken of in the Bible is the Old Testament. The angels are referred to as saints. The angels were referred to for the first time. But then you have the Old Testament saints. Then you have the New Testament saints. And then you have here, the last, you have the tribulation saints. So all four categories are gathered together. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. Okay. What do you suppose?
Well, Pastor Ernie.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Ernie.
Yes,
sir. Verse 14 doesn't say anything about saints. It says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And you go back up to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that's the dress that the church wears, that's describing the exact clothing at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Oh, yeah, well, they were getting prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb, but the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place on earth and not heaven. So they're getting ready to return, but he's got to...
Where does it say it takes place in earth?
Well, he's returning to the earth with all of his saints, and... And so here, let's go to the
I'm pretty adamant the marriage supper of the Lamb belongs in heaven. That's where it takes place.
It doesn't take place in the New Jerusalem?
The New Jerusalem is in heaven.
Well, actually, it's brought back down to set above the earth.
Yeah, but that's after the Great White Throne Judgment.
Well, anyhow, let's move on. We'll figure this out later here, okay?
Okay.
And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations, that he should rule with them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. So now, what do you think that sharp sword is?
That's the word of God, Pastor Ernie.
So,
the spoken word of Jesus Christ.
So why is he taking the saints back with him? Why is he taking them back? Well, these are his armies. They're his armies, okay? What is the purpose of taking the armies back to the earth?
Well, when it comes to the church, Pastor Ernie, it says in Revelation 5:10, that he made us kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
So, when we get back to the earth, in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, we see that the Lord is going to be going back. He's going to appear right there, the exact place on the Mount of Olives that he stood before he left. And now we're going to, we'll go there. Let's go ahead and finish this, and then we'll jump over there. He says, and he hath a vesture, and on his thighs the name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that are set on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bound, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on a horse, and against the army. Now, this is one of the things that a lot of people confuse, because it's the armies of the there's a misunderstanding. A lot of people think that he's coming back to fight against all the people on the earth, but it's not. It's the armies of the earth here. And he says, "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet, which wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them, and had received the mark of the beast with them that worshipped him. Then both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him, of which upon the earth, upon the horse, and with all the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls of heaven with their flesh." So, here, let's go back to Zechariah chapter 14. And in Zechariah chapter 14, I'm getting there. Okay,
well,
okay, start there. Go ahead and start with verse 1.
"Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a great valley. Half of the mountain shall move forward north to the north, and half of it toward the south. And he shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach to Azel. Yea, he shall flee like you did before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And this is really important, the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee."
Okay, so here, again, we have four categories of saints spoken of in Scripture. The first ones are the angels. Now, but let's go back to chapter 13, and let's just read verses 8 through 8 and 9. "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall be called on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say it is my people, and they shall say that the Lord is their God." So he's saying that 1/3 of all the professing Jews are actually the sons of Abraham, as is spoken of, not the seed. So 1/3 will receive him as their Messiah, but 2/3 will perish, correct?
Yes, correct, Esther.
So now, as the armies of the world are coming down, and they're going through Jerusalem, and the women are ravished, and the houses are rifled, and so on and so forth. So here they come. Now, in the day of battle, it says, as he did in the day of battle. What day was that he was talking about as the day of battle?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I believe that was when the Lord destroyed the armies of Pharaoh in the Red Sea.
You would be correct, exactly. And what did he do at that Red Sea? He did something there.
What did the Lord do?
Yeah. He parted the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And so here we see that he's doing the same thing as he did back then. He parted the Red Sea. Now he's parting the Mount of Olives. Now, in those days, he was up against Pharaoh in his elite chariots. How is it going to be different?
Well, what's different now is the armies of the world have gathered there, and they're overrunning Jerusalem.
So are we going to be talking Black Hawk helicopters? Are we going to be talking about laser, high-tech weaponry?
That's a good question, Pastor Ernie, and I've wrestled with that. And something has to happen, because right now, Israel has, no one knows, Israel doesn't admit how many nuclear weapons it has, but the estimate is 300, 400, maybe 500. And if Israel had nuclear weapons, all these armies could be destroyed, Pastor Ernie. But apparently Israel is not. There's going to be like disarmament, I believe, if you follow what I'm saying, Pastor Ernie.
Well, let's look at it this way. Now, the armies gather, and the purpose of the army is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you.
Correct.
Now, we are going to, the saints are coming back, and the saints are going to have glorified bodies. Glorified bodies can't die. Remember, they're born twice, they die once. So glorified bodies cannot die. And so, with our glorified bodies that can't die and will be impervious to weaponry, we're going to have quite an advantage over the armies of the world, will we not?
Yeah, but Israel won't.
Well, here it's not fighting Israel. Israel is running. They're running, and here they're running towards the Mount of Olives. And the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is coming, as appeared back. And so the armies of the world run smack into him and his armies, which are the four categories of saints. And so here now, it looks like things are not going to end well for the armies of the world here, right?
Oh no, Pastor. They're obliterated.
So, you know, a lot of people, if we go over here, in fact, in Zechariah here, read verse, in Zechariah chapter 14, read verse 12. Do you have verse 12?
Yeah. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth.
There's one weapon that does that. Do you know what that weapon is? That's a neutron bomb. That's exactly what happens. Did you know that?
Yeah, but the Lord is the one that's doing it, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean, they're saying that's exactly what happens now. So you don't think Israel's going to be using any neutron bombs?
No. No, look what it says. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the people that have fought against Jerusalem.
Well, that's true, but God always uses, he always uses us to do his will. He always uses his people to do his will. I don't, you know.
Well, if we go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you will see how the Lord does it. Let's go over there real quickly.
You have to do it quickly because we're up against it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, real quickly here. And it says about the beast, the man of sin. So we go to verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, that's the word of God, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. It's the Lord that's doing it, Pastor.
Okay, we got to stop right there. And what I got to do is I'm going to ask a big, big favor of all the folks out there listening. One is, John, because of the Thanksgiving holiday coming up, we're pressed two days. I have to pay the light bill 2 days early, and so I'm asking the folks out there, those that were going to support us, and I thank you all for doing that, those that were, because Pledge Week starts Monday, that we're going to pledge, if you could possibly, it would help us a lot, if since you were going to pledge anyway, if you could do it a couple of days early, I would really appreciate it. And also, if you've been listening to us for a very long time and have never pledged, you might consider doing that. And then the other thing is this, for the folks in Northeast Ohio, Lake, Geauga, Ashtabula, Trumbull, Portage counties, Geauga County Right to Life, which is a great, great Right to Life chapter. Folks have been, since back in the 70s, working so hard. We've saved over 24,000 babies. But it's work. No, we've never got paid. We never got paid for any of this. We always did it because the cause is a righteous, righteous cause. And many of us going to jail, John, you know what that's like, to be up against the crooked cops and the crooked courts and systems.
Pastor Ernie, I've seen it. People actually have to be engaged, Pastor Ernie, to realize how deep and corrupt the system can be.
Absolutely.
You know, they have to see it in action. The police against you, the mayor against you, the district attorney against you, the courts. It's something to behold when it comes to pro-life, Mr.
Well, just like pro-lifers all over the country, we paid a good price. We took our hits for saving babies, but it was worth it. We'd do it all over again. And I did it for 45 years. John, you know, I was on those streets, and you were there with me several times. For 45 years, week in and week out. And anyhow, we're having the annual Christmas concert, and the Chester Christian Center puts it on every year. They put this on. This is one of our major fundraisers. They put on a tremendous concert. It's really a good concert. And here, I'm asking you folks out there, because a lot of the times the churches have not showed up. You know, it's one thing not showing up to help us save the babies, but not even showing up to this concert here. And so I'm asking not only that you folks out there show up, those, and again, like, I don't expect you to come from Michigan or Pennsylvania, but those that are Northeast Ohio, the address is 11815. That's 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio. It's about a mile north of Mayfield Road and about 3 miles south of Route 6. It's at 7 p.m. on December 7th, Sunday, December 7th at 7 p.m. And so, folks, come on out and be blessed. And I don't know how many more years I'll be able to continue doing this, but I'll be there, Lord's willing, and as I speak there every year. So come out and join. Help us save the babies. It's the right thing to do, folks. And like I said, the good people there have worked so hard, and they put in so much time, and the babies deserve the best you can give to them. So with that, our good friend Bill Federer, you remember Bill, John?
Yes, I do, Pastor Ernie. I don't know how many years ago now, it was many years ago, but we were speaking at a conference together, and we ended up trading books, and I learned a tremendous amount of American history, critical American history from Bill.
Yeah, he stayed here with me several times at our house with my wife and I. He's one of America's historians, top historians, and I've had him on the program many, many times, and that's how I met him, speaking on when I was out on, like you, speaking with Noah Hutchins, and so
yes, that's exactly where I met him.
Yeah, and so here he's got a clip. It's just about a 6-minute clip, so we're going to go to that. And he's talking about Islam. because a lot of people aren't talking about what's happening, but Islam is moving very, very quickly now to turn little towns into big cities, into basically total Islamic strongholds. They're starting little Islamic countries here, like they did in England. In England, in London, they've almost taken totally over the Muslims.
Pastor Ernie, do you know what the new name for London is?
No.
Londonistan.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
And don't forget what they've done in France and Germany.
Yeah, and so our people better wake up.
Sweden, Pastor Ernie, they've taken over cities in Sweden, and the police won't go in there. They don't deliver mail in there, in those sections. They don't make food deliveries and all. It's like a war zone trying to go into those Muslim areas.
Well, you know, you have that here in the United States now, where they actually are practicing Sharia law. They have Sharia courts now. And so Bill tells you how they do it. They have a plan. So go ahead, Dale, and take her away.
This really captures the silent strategy that is taking over cities now. Check this out.
Which three steps was immigrate, increase, eliminate. Immigrate as a religious refugee, increase the number of your followers and demand political accommodation, and then eliminate the previous culture. So I was speaking in Detroit area, and afterwards had people come up and visit around the book table, and they were telling me about a lady who had a ministry to pregnant mothers. So she shows up at a Muslim house, has a little present. Well, out of a bedroom comes another pregnant Muslim mom. Out of a bedroom comes another pregnant Muslim mom. Out of a bedroom comes another pregnant Muslim mom, all pregnant by the same man. He's practicing Sharia law in his house. And then someone else says, oh, yeah, Fazel bought a bunch of houses on the street, has a wife in each one.
Where was this?
In Detroit area. The wives go down to the welfare office and say their husband's not around. He goes and visits them, and the more kids they have, the larger the checks get. And he's living like a king at state expense, and all the kids playing in the middle of the street are his children. He's practicing Sharia law on his block. They take over several more blocks, and they vote in the school board. And now they have their Sharia in the schools. And then they take over more blocks. They vote in the police department, fire department. And in Hamtramck, Detroit, they vote in the majority of the city council. They have their minarets, their calls to prayer five times a day, no different than Pakistan. So we see the first ones come in as immigrants, and they're nice. And they're so nice, everybody says, they're nice, nothing to fear, let more in. More come in, they gravitate together, form a community. Imam shows up and says, okay, you need to start getting a little more serious about this, more fundamental. Then the burqas start appearing. People say the neighborhood's changing. They move out, more Muslims move in, and then there's always that stickler that says, I refuse to move out. And that's when there's random violence from Muslim youth, and there's no witnesses, because no Muslim family dare testify against another Muslim family on behalf of some kafir infidel that's hanging in the neighborhood. And so eventually they take over the entire neighborhood, and they do this neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city, block by block, until they take over countries. And there's 1400 years of track record to observe this pattern. So they took over Egypt, which used to be Coptic Christian. They took over Syria, which used to be Christian. They took over all of Turkey, which used to be Christian. Took over all of North Africa, which used to be Christian. They took Spain, held it for 700 years until the Spaniards drove them out.
All righty. And so that's what's happening here. But we have, John, in our soil, we have an unholy confederacy between radical Islam and the Communist Party, the Democratic Communist Party. And they have a saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and the enemy of their enemy really are Christians and Jews. Now, I'm not saying all Muslims are radical jihadists. Most of them don't. No, they just soon live a peaceful life and not go to war, not have to fight, you know. But the majority of them. But like in the Democratic Communist Party, it's the ones that are loud, and the majority don't rule. The majority, they follow and they bow, and they're submissive to the commands of the radical few that run the party. And so we need to really be engaged and be prepared, because, years ago, actually, we sent out DVDs. And we showed you at that time over 90 jihadist training camps in the United States. When Obama was in office, the FBI was told to stand down and let them train. And here we watched them. We sent out the videos of them training. The county sheriffs were told to stand down and leave him alone. So, anyhow, people need to know, don't they?
Yes, sir, Ernie, we need real leadership here. We need tremendous... Trump is, in many ways, he is, but you see, Pastor Ernie, here's the problem. There's so much money behind Islam from the Persian Gulf oil. There's so much money in the banks. There's so much money in the stock market and all. And the Muslims are, when you went on those tours, you know, they like billions of dollars this country pledged here to America. And billions, 500 billion here. You remember Pastor Ernie, all of those countries? So
yeah.
I feel he's been neutralized. He's got to lead us like the Muslim Brotherhood. They have to be viewed as a terrorist group. Like in Egypt, Egypt won't allow the Muslim Brotherhood to function there.
I thought the Muslim Brotherhood was considered to be a terrorist group under Bush.
That I don't know, Pastor.
Remember Frank Gaffney? Do you remember him? He worked. He was the one that exposed. He got into their office, got into their files, got into, you know, and exposed all of that. If I remember, because I had him on the radio program. They killed him. They killed Frank. And I had him on the program, and he was afraid that they were going to kill him. He knew that. But he had brought all of that out. And during Bush, when Bush was in, and right after, I'm trying to think of 9/11, I believe the Muslim Brotherhood was considered to be a terrorist organization. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to look right now while we're talking.
Okay.
And now, so, CARE is another one. Council on... there's pleas going out to make them, identify them as a terrorist group. We have to, Pastor Ernie, because they're not going to stop. But I'm concerned that Trump has been not necessarily bribed, but they want to sink all this money into America. Is he going to stand up against Islam with that being done? You follow what I'm saying? I'm very concerned about this.
I think Saudi Arabia and a number of those other countries were going to invest in. Trump's got this idea about rebuilding Gaza and building into this huge resort, a big resort area. And the idea was to put the Palestinians who are homeless to work so that they would have a home, doing all this building and bringing in the money to keep Hamas out. But I believe that they were talking about Saudi Arabia and these other countries joining in and financing all of this huge, huge, making it a huge resort area. What do you think?
That's President Trump thinking like a businessman. And that probably would work in like European areas, conflicts, you know. But I don't, Pastor Ernie, it's not going to go with Islam. I mean, the religious roots of the animus towards Israel is so deep that I can't see it being successful, because they believe, literally, they believe that the Jews were cursed by Allah and are apes and pigs. Now, that's just not derogatory terms. They believe spirit in them is of apes and pigs. So I can't see them what Trump's ideas are working in any long run, Pastor Ernie, at all.
All righty. Anyhow, let's do some fast lightning round things. One, do you know that there were 180, and this is from the blue states, 186,000 dead people receiving SNAP money, and out of that, and this is just in the blue states, they haven't even gotten to the red states yet, over 500,000 people are getting more than, they're getting two checks from, you know, two different states. They're getting them in one state and then another. And so that's unbelievable fraud. What an unbelievable waste of money, isn't it? And a lot of those people were getting all of that SNAP money, those food stamps, and selling them. They're selling them. You had one woman that was getting nine different food stamps. She was on there, I don't know if it was nine different names in nine different states, but anyhow, and she was getting rich selling all of that. So what do you think of that?
There's an unbelievable amount of schemes. Remember when Trump he took office and he had Musk running like kind of like an audit of the government? And, I mean, it was billions upon billions, tens, 20s, 100 billion more of all fraud. And it's so deep, Pastor Ernie, in this fraud. And it always seems to be, when you get down to the bottom of it, it always, it seems like 100%, maybe not, the Democrats, Pastor.
Yeah, it's about 99.9%. Yeah, it's about 99.9% the Democrats.
And yeah, when they make these arrests now for voter fraud, I got to say it's 99.9% Democrats.
Yep. Anyhow, Doge is the one that's behind. They're still digging this stuff out. Praise the good Lord for that. Anyhow, now there's this latest trend for the communists to call themselves socialists, Democrats, and in all of these cities, they're running for mayor now. You got Katie Wilson, who's a female, clone of Mondumi in New York. She's running for mayor in Seattle. Man, that's a big city. And, of course, they're all Democrats there. And this woman, she's really nice because she said she's going to give people free health care. She's going to give people free housing. She's going to give free nurseries, taking care of your children, and food. And she's not going to allow any grocery stores to move out of Seattle. Boy, she must be a nice woman, John. What do you think?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, let's get real with this. You know, we go back to 1917 with Russia, right, as the birth of communism. I mean, what did Russia produce under communism? Nothing. But abject poverty. Murdered millions upon millions with
60 yeah. million of their own people they killed.
Yeah. So then they bring it into East Europe. How many were killed under them, Pastor Ernie, in East Europe? And they're in poverty. Communism can't be successful by definition. China. They took over China. How many were killed under the communist Chinese, Pastor?
They say 90 million.
Yeah. And so what China realized that the communism didn't work, so they became capitalistic. So China right now is using the communists, they're using capitalism to keep power, because without it, they can't. Russia collapsed from within because the communist system. We look at Cambodia with Pol Pot. We look at Vietnam when the communists took over. North Korea, they proudly say that they're communists in North Korea. And now they want to bring this to the United States?
Well, it seems, John, it seems, it kind of seems like when these people have come to the zenith of getting stupid, when they've got about as stupid gets, that then they move to the cities. Do you think that's right? I mean, are the people in the big cities getting dumber and dumber?
Yes. Look at their action. Then they get militant. You know, it's just they're tyrants. That's all. And they have to keep their country, a communist country, has to keep it together by force.
So now in these big cities,
got so bad in Russia, Pesterny, you remember around 1989, it got so bad in Russia that it just collapsed of its own corruption. It literally collapsed.
Yeah. They were their own worst enemies, huh?
Yes.
So let me ask you this, then. What happens in a city like New York when the tax base moves out? When the tax base, when they get overtaxed, they decide to move out, and then what fate follows the tax base is the labor base. The labor leaves, then the fire, the police, the emergency services, they're right behind, but they get quickly replaced. I mean, it's not like there's a void that's left open for long, because the drug cartels come in, the gangs come in, the prostitutes, the porn shops, and they all feed off of each other.
At best, it becomes a third world city. That's what it becomes. And New York City under communism is like a parasite. They don't have the money there. So they're going to have to lean on the federal government and New York State. So they're going to have to get like billions and billions from New York State to stay afloat, Esther. And then hopefully with President Trump, they're not going to give money to New York City like the Democrats would.
That's what Trump says, because they're still calling themselves a sanctuary city, huh?
Yes. So they asked Pasterny, I heard President Trump being questioned about Mondami there, and says he's going to be a sanctuary city. What do you plan on doing about it? And he said, well, I'm going to arrest him and put him in jail.
Well, they claim if Netanyahu comes back to New York, to the United Nations, that they will arrest him to speak, that he will be arrested. Do you think Trump would allow that?
No.
Do you think that the Mossad would allow him to be arrested?
Well, I don't think there's much they can do about it in the United States. Unless they become bodyguards and they're, you know, willing to shoot it out with who's ever planning on arresting him. But I don't think President Trump would let it come to that. He might give him Secret Service protection or the U.S. Marshals or both.
We're heading for some very interesting days, aren't we?
Oh yeah, Pastor. They're taking it to us. No matter what's happening, these are ideologues, Pastor Ernie, and they're taking the fight to us.
Well, John, you and I've been pushing back for 50 years. We've been fighting this thing. I've done that my whole life. Okay, Trump says he's going to sue the BBC for between $1 and $5 billion, and they said they're not going to have it. What do you think?
Well, it's incredible what they did, Mr. Ernie. I followed this, and he was giving a speech, and I guess you would say maybe with AI, if that's the right term there, they altered his speech. So they made what he was saying like positive and negative type thing. they actually altered his speech, and it was detected. So this is criminal, really. And of course, it's the BBC did it, so it's in England. But he's apparently serious about pressing charges against them for what they've done. He wants to sue them.
Well, he sued 60 Minutes for $15 million and won. And got it. Yeah,
He also sued Pastor Ernie that something in Iowa, there was something about media in Iowa, and he won that.
Yeah, so he's got a pretty good list. His wife has sued some and won now, too. So,
yes.
Anyhow.
Yes.
The Republicans are focusing on affordable housing, health care. Do you know under the Democrats, under Joe Obama, in his 4 years, the cost of housing went up 100%. Did you know that? 100%.
I know it went up, Pastor Ernie, but not that much.
Yeah, that's according to what Fox News tonight, they had the fellow on there. Anyhow, so the Republicans are focusing on affordable housing and health care. Do you know what the Democrats are focusing upon?
Illegal aliens, transgenderism, and what else? Open borders and freeing sanctuary cities. How's that?
Well, stopping the Trumpet, no matter whatever he tries to do. That's what their focus is. That's their main thing. Now, here.
Now, Pastor Ernie, let me just interrupt for a second, please.
Yeah.
I went to Google and did research, so I hope it's accurate. In the U.S., it is not official designation as a terrorist organization by the federal government. That's the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh. All right. Well, I was under the impression they were.
Yeah, see, I was not exactly sure because there has been, like, a lot of heat out there for it to be.
What about CARE? What about CARE?
Yeah, that's another one. That's another one that should be designated.
Okay. Anyhow, yeah, they both, you're absolutely right. They both should be. Okay, now, I got to tell you this real quick because we're coming up to a break, but there's a documentary coming out this month, and in this documentary, they are saying that they have absolute proof, and the government backs this up, that we have space aliens living here, walking among us, okay? People that are not from planet Earth. Well, of course, we do. We have angels and demons, you know, but anyhow... Anyhow, they're claiming that documentary is coming out here in a week or two. So what do you think of that?
With an open mind, I am interested in this. With an open mind, I want to watch it to see, Pastor.
All righty, very good. And so, the Democrats are kind of spaced out. I've noticed people with great big, whose eyes are bulged, like AOC's and Adam, what's his name? Yeah. I was wondering if those people might be aliens. What do you think? Could be. Anyhow,
well,
we're coming up to it.
I can tell you what, Pastor Ernie, they do seem to be full of demons when you cheat, slander, full of malice.
Hang tight, we're going to a hard break, so stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
Starting a business can be overwhelming. You're juggling multiple roles, designer, marketer, logistics manager, all while bringing your vision to life. But for millions of businesses, Shopify is the ultimate partner. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started, build a stunning online store with Shopify's ready-to-use templates. Boost content with AI-powered product descriptions, page headlines, and enhanced photography. Marketing is easy with built-in tools for email and social media campaigns. Plus, Shopify simplifies everything from inventory to shipping and returns. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try. Shopify.com/try.